Blog Talk Radio.
NYPA, it's time to start the show, so search for the squad and listen out for the promo with the West Wild Spitter, send his web into a show hole. Collins Oak coverage on the corner, make it unfold. 5 o'clock, who gives a damn of what your man is say? We spitting live wireless, leave him shot with the gamma ray. Ain't no runner-up, cause it ain't the closest to candidate. I block the deep and you draw like Japanese anime. It's just us and the rest, news off the hottest press. Zone from the boogie down, Kyle Holt and Philly West. Reppin' with the legends, classic interview, second politics. Sports segment, live phone, call up a question. It's the NYPA, 95 connection, real people. Ain't no scripted cue card for directions. Just team on the grind, time till it's all perfection. Throw it past the satellite so you can catch reception. So touch ground with us, we kill challenges. I murder it for every number on your calendars. From west to the boogie down, they greyhound in this. We Google spot, anchor podcast, pocket this.
Welcome to NYPA Entertainment Radio live here on Blog Talk. Kyle and Alonzo, thank you for joining us today from the Boogie Down. I'm in West Philadelphia in the NYPA studio. Thank you if you listen to us live or if you download this episode on any of the platforms. We have a lot to get into, but first, this is the last day that you will hear our standard music playlist. Starting next month is December. An official start of the holiday music that we will be playing here at NYP Entertainment Radio, our annual thing, our little spiel we do every December. So next Sunday, the 4th, time is speeding by really fast. We'll have a brand new playlist. It'll be our holiday version of that. And 2 weeks afterwards, like I mentioned last week's show, wrapping things up on the 18th, final show of the 2022 will be on December 18th, and then we'll start back up sometime in January. I haven't made the decision yet when in January, but the final show for 22 will be December 18th. Time is flying by. I'll be here before you know it. I cannot believe this is the end of the year already, but we definitely going to end the year with a bang, especially today. With November playlist, and like I said, January is almost done, and December is holiday music, so it should be a lot of fun for one and all. And remember, if you can't catch this show live while it's happening from 5 to 7, always go in the archives, download this one and others on Blog Talk, Anchor, Apple, which is with iTunes, Amazon, iHeart, Spotify. Share, comment, download, subscribe, tell everyone, pass the link on, and tell them to check out NYP Entertainment Radio. And I'll save this ending for when I do the shout-outs in terms of marketing and so forth. All right, let's get started. We're going to start a little bit on a sad note. We'll give a little shout-out to Irene Cara, who passed away yesterday at the age of 63, who's a legend. You don't know who she is. You got to Google her. The original Sparkle in the movie Sparkle, the original one, not the corny remake one, the OG one. Fame. Which put off the great show Fame with Debbie Allen and so forth. She was also in this one. She sung What a Feeling and Flashdance, which I like that movie. I remember seeing it growing up. But
which
if you
won an Oscar for.
If you was in the era of the 70s and the 80s, you knew Irene Cara was. Great entertainer. Did everything. Sung, danced, won awards across the boards, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was disclosed yet of her, what caused her death, but 63 is young, and it's sad to see her go, and unfortunately she's no longer here. But if you're not aware of who Irene Cara is, you got to Google it, go to YouTube, you'll definitely see what we're talking about. I love the movie Fame. She played Coco Hernandez, the original Coco Hernandez.
Right, the movie, not
out.
The sitcom.
Well, No. Well, Fame wasn't a sitcom when they started the show. It's kind of picked up where the movie left off, and somebody else played her in that. I love the show Fame. I like the movie Fame.
Right.
Debbie Allen, of course, was in both the TV show Janet Jackson was in the TV show Fame. Nia Peoples knows her name, all the finance women, not the guys that were in Fame. I don't care about her at all. That's why I watched it. You know, it was music. It was a good show. Irene Cara started off, and I've seen a lot of different. Nah, man, come on, it was a good show. I've seen a lot of people.
Oh, of course it was.
Irene Cara, and one of the videos I've seen someone posted, her singing "Fame" in Times Square in the '80s, the retro Times Square, not the one now, the retro Times Square. And she's singing "Fame," it was dope, and it just brought back a lot of memories. You know, she was a good artist, man, and a actress and everything. And she doesn't get a lot of attention or attributes to. She's an unsung person. They won't put that show unsung on about somebody. Put on Irene Cara because her name hasn't come up a lot when it comes down to
seeing
music and film and so forth. Yeah, but she shouldn't have been unsung to begin with, quite frankly. Like her name doesn't come up enough. She was definitely a dope-ass person from the Bronx. You know, father was Puerto Rican, mom's Cuban, and she was doing stuff since she was a little girl in Spanish and in English. She was dope. She was dope, man. What do you remember? What's your memories of Irene Cara?
My memories of her when was it Roots? When I first seen her, and then when first off, let me tell you the story. I was a child when I seen her, and I had the hugest crush on this woman when I seen her. I mean, when you're a kid, you always have this fantasy that, all right, I'm going to get with her. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to do all these things to her. Then reality strikes like, no, you're not going to meet her, and you're probably not going to get to her.
Right.
But and then I seen her on Fame, and it was like, oh, man, and that was just more mesmer, you know, the beauty of her and, you know, the way she's able to sing, to act, you know. It was, you know, those were my memories of her, especially Fame. Fame was actually the one that really brought her out to me more so than when I first seen her. It's saddened that she had to go at age 63. You know, that shocked me when I seen it and when I heard about it. You know, it's like Irene Cara, not her. It's like, no, not her. But yeah, she's gone. But yeah, I had this huge crush on this woman when I was growing up, you know, as a kid. So this is my childhood crush that's been removed from my life now. I'm crushed.
I was shocked when I seen her name come up over my phone, you know, that she passed. And I was like, wow, 63, again, that's young. And like I said, we don't know what caused her death. But it, like I said, harkens back memories of someone, like, we, you know, you grew up watching. And like, at the time when there was no cable, so you had the three networks and then you had your local networks. You know, in New York, open up with Philip, whatever. So they would have a Sunday night movie, right, or whatever, afternoon movie on the Sunday. And that's how I saw Fame, originally, the movie. And then, of course, the TV show came on to syndicate as a syndication. It wasn't part of no network. So I would see it on a local network, like Channel 29 here, before Fox was a thing, and WPXF. And it would show Fame and syndication every Saturday for 2 hours, like an hour, you know, always new episodes. And I, again, because I seen the movie, which was funny and it was good and was her singing and dancing, and it was based off a real life school in New York City, the performing arts school.
Right.
It was cool.
Right.
Like, you kind of like, damn, I can do that. I do all acting and all type of stuff. And then the TV show, Finance, Debbie Allen, dancing, doing ballet, and had all types of music. It even had a little bit of rap music when rap was kind of evolving and rock. It was a real cool show, and she started it all, her and Debbie Allen. And like I said, and Flashdance, I remember, and I used to like Flashdance. You know, Jennifer Beale, like, you know, could you not? Then you got her singing. So, you know, that was dope, man. It kind of, that's really cool. And I mentioned Irene Cara. That's, like I said, y'all don't know who it is, y'all Google her, check it out, and see all the litany of things that she has done. In the industry. So I think we have a caller. Hold on, Zoe. Caller, you on the air, NYPD Team of Radio.
I just wanted to give you all a shout out. You know what I'm saying? New York, you know what I'm saying? NYPA, we talked about tits. We talked about taking giant shits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, bro.
So what is your take on Irene Cara?
I just want to give a shout out to Irene Cara. We talk about New York.
Thanks for calling there, homie.
What was
it? I cut him off. He was playing around. But anyway, like I said, Google her.
Okay.
Check out Irene Cara. Yeah, that's what's up. All right, moving on from there. All right. I got some. MC Search details how long he landed 50% of the publishing on Jay-Z's Dead President. MC Search is bringing down the ins and outs of music publishing by recalling a deal on which he landed Nas an ownership stake in Jay-Z's debut album. As previously recorded in a recent interview, MC Search opened up about selling his ownership stake in Nas' music catalog, which includes Illmatic and the New York Legend sophomore album, It Was Written. MC Search served as executive producer for both projects. Quote, I've decided to sell off the rights, including the global rights, to MC Search at the time of the decision. I started conversations with several companies a few months ago. For 27 years, it has provided my family through good times and bad times. Now it's time for a new chapter. Securing the bag for Nas during a recent interview with Math Hoffa, MC further explained his ownership within the Queens Native portfolio. Here's the truth. I sold my share, which is 2%. I'm the executive producer of Illmatic, and it was written, my share is 2%. I'm entitled to sell my share. Furthermore, he explains how he received Nas' blessing ahead of the decision. I offered it back to Nas, but Nas gets it back in 7 years anyway. So he was like, oh, go get your money, he said during the interview. At one point during the conversation, MC even recalled the time he helped Nas secure a deal that landed him partial ownership of Jay-Z's publishing for Reasonable Doubt. I was the head of the promotions, CHR promotions at Def Jam, MC Search explained. We were about to put out Reasonable Doubt, and Biggs and Dash and Jay came to me and said, hey, we got to clear the sample on Dead Presidents. I'm out for Presidents to represent me off Illmatic. So I say, yeah, that's not a problem. Give me a check for $2,500 and I'll clear it. After taking it to Zumba Music, MC Search landed Nas the deal by bargaining an offer that would allow him ownership rights over Jay-Z's Dead Presidents track from his debut album. I went to Zumba and I said that this is what we're going to take. We'll also take 50% of the publishing, MC Search recalls. So what I love to say is while Jay likes to say that Nas owns Jay's publishing, Jay does not own Nas publishing. He had any printing that says Dead Presidents, Nas owns 50% on that song. That's dope. Mm.
That's
dope.
That's
dope.
It is. That's good business deal right there.
That's good
damn.
Business. That's good business.
Damn.
That's good business.
I like that one.
That's good business.
Like, wow, 50%.
50%. Damn. Mm. Now, you don't know, you hear too much about that, though. You know what I mean?
No, because
like,
Nas is
like,
real
no
quiet
one, like, no
with
one brings
business.
It up. Like, he's getting cash, like, from Dead President. Anytime that song drops or whatever, Nas is getting 50% of that. So doing that whole beef against each other, Nas is like, yeah, I'm still getting paid from you. I'm getting paid from you. Like, I own, we beefing, but, you know, like, I own half of one of your tracks, homie. Like, what's up? Like, damn. And what's crazy with MC Search and this interview and others, that this dude is fucking brilliant in business. Like, what he has, MC Search, right? Yeah. He does behind the scenes, what he has done business-wise, musically, that is ridiculous. What he owned, what he got Nas, all that stuff is just like that smart business. And again, it goes to what I'll say, different streams of revenue. It's not just in music either. It's in TV shows, it's in films, it's other stuff that he has his hand in, that, you know, give him that bag, as they say. But this right here, where hardly I think anyone really knew about this, it's crazy. Had, like I said, these two guys were beefing, and but the whole time now it's like I'm still getting paid. I own 50%. I want to dope and rhyme. So
when you was talking about, I mean, because I know we spoke about the Nas and MC Search, you know, he's selling off his share of the catalog, you know, but the first question I was going to ask when you were speaking about it again today is, why didn't he sell it back to Nas? You know, but then when you explained and said that he's going to get it back in 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to get it back in 7 years, so he wasn't even worried.
Right. He's like, just sell it anyway. Yeah, so he told him,
sell it. I'm
going
to get it back anyway in 7 years, so.
Yeah. And it'll go to him or go to his kids or whatever. So, which takes me off again of being smart. When Nas's first album, I gotta check his current albums also. But I know the very first album he made his daughter, who was just born around that time, executive producer. So she gets
smart
royalties off his first album
for the rest of her life.
He did that to both his sons. His son Knight and Destiny. So, but that was dope. Like a 17, 18-year-old was like, let me hook my daughter up for the rest of life, put her now as executive producer. So she's hooked, you know, that's her shit for the rest of life, royalties from that.
Right.
And allegedly, I guess he scammed Pete Rock, so I don't know. Because Pete Rock haven't seen his $1 million in over 2 decades. So I guess, but is that really smart or Pete Rock is really dumb? So I still don't get that one, how you went decades without seeing $1 million. I wouldn't go past a day if you owe me $1 million. We won't go past 5 minutes if you owe me $1 million. So that still hasn't come to light yet on how that came about. Because it's like, you went all these years since 94 and haven't received $1 million? You're crazy. $1 million. You're out of your mind. Damn that.
So for everybody who thought Nas wasn't a great businessman, he is. He's learned from the best of them out there.
That was just brilliant on his part, putting his daughter's name down there. And shout out to MC Search also. But yeah, if you come across MC Search, like, he has a mind for business. I hear him in interviews how he just like these different other things. I'm like, that's kind of smart. He came up with different streams of revenue and innovative stuff with music, and outside that, he had a lot of fun stories and stuff. So shout out to MC Search,
so,
Third Base.
Yeah, so for all of the people out there, as MC Search and Pete Nice, y'all got the gas face.
My God.
MC Search. MC Search, he's a great businessman, so y'all got the gas face. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he gave Rockefeller the gas face. well, we're going to give y'all the gas face. We're going to step out of here for a minute and play some music. When we come back, we got some more stuff to get into. Stick around. NYPA Entertainment Radio.
Yeah. There's just one thing I want to say. The really, really, really real, yo. There's just one thing I want to say.
Copy.
There's just one thing I wanna say.
We gon' hit it down like this, y'all know the flavor.
There's just one thing I wanna say.
Alamo, what is you with me?
What goes around comes back around again.
Sir Doogie, is you with me?
What goes around comes back around again.
SOS, is you with me?
What goes around comes back around again.
Yeah, this how we gon' bust it down, y'all. You know the flavor. You know what time is it? Check it, yo. This how we flow. Here comes the boober, and you know I won't fake it. Usually bust records on, getting butt naked. Made for the Benzy. Drive a nigga skinzy, pump the tape, grab your dinky with the boobah frenzy. Come on, honey, thing, don't just try to eject slowdowns. What you say once my joint gets erect? Some try to copy, but they just can't sketch it. Some try to follow, but they just can't catch it. With the boom, boom, clap, yeah, all of that. Look, I'm living fat, me fall off, there be none of that. See who's doing the flipping. Quick to tell a nigga to zip it, so drink the 40, cause we ain't got time to sip it. Grand Poobah got body. Kick some of them, some of those, and some yachty. As dope as they come, second sing or hum. Don't try to step to this, you know your shit is slum. First batter up, well here's the pitch, it's a curve. Second batter up, because the first got served. The one who arouses a browse for a blouse. Kick styles by the piles as I leave a chill for miles. Skis when I please, hit from here to Tel Aviv. I'm getting G's, no more time for the line of free trees. Here's the 411, huh? The one who gets the job done, I know you know the flavor of the Poobah.
But goes
yeah, nah. This how we bump it, yo. You know what I'm saying? Big Jeff in the house. We gon' move it like this, baby pop in the house. Bust how we bust it down. BR, you know the flavor. Check. Okay. What more could I say? Alamo get the boom and parlay. I'm far from the average. Civilized and savage when I'm low on protein and with the beans, soup and cabbage. Skin's on the diet, kick the flavor, cause it right. Do a show and get the dough and then I'm off till the high. Sometime you on the flip. Ain't no ends or if and if you really want to rip, you just might end up playing stiff. Jabo's hanging back and he'll figure on the top. Not sack on the back, that's just my flavor. As my man gives a zigger, zigger. Watch the street grow bigger. The pause came, that's my nigga. Here goes the wreck. What do you expect if you want to see some wrecks? Then cast out a check, Grand Poobah. More than a public figure. Quick to kick the bone up the butt of a gold digger. Now tic-tac-toe means I hit three in a row. If I do a show, then you better have my dough. Low. Well, how low can you go? Call on Grand Poobah if you really need a bro, cause my shit's more rugged than G.I. Joe. No front, honey, act like you know. Now big up to my Brooklyn mob. Big up to my uptown mob. Now brothers wanna diss because it's my turn to burn. My best advice for the brothers is to sit back and learn. I don't diss nobody to be somebody. I just like to kick the flavor to make the people party. See, all I'm saying is respect to those who try to follow. Sorry I left you. Grand Poobah stud doogie in Alamo. So if you ever want the flavor, you know where to go. Now how we go?
Go,
yeah.
Don't let it go to your head, no.
cause I'm the one been in for late night cabs. I told your girl my home is my castle. Understand it won't be no hassle.
I heard you single on the battle of the beats. It won 5 nights. I bet you had the time of your life. Working so hard and so long to make a record. Finally to make a song, people respect it. Collect the dough at the show as you sip the mo. Now you hitting the flow, you never hit before. That's a trip, how much better could it get? Got the leather with the wood kit, all up in the whip. Don't fall into the pit, we're calling it what? It's really not, this is just one single you got. That's really hot, tomorrow it could bust just like a blood clot. Leave you in the dust for your body to rot. Another party to rock. If it's you or if it's me, it doesn't matter, cause it just won't stop. They'll let your gray matter pop. Cause when you release the album, if they don't cop, you're gonna get dropped. So cause one single don't make you a hit. Stay true to who you are and don't never forget. Keep your feet on solid ground. Cause what goes up must come down,
don't let it go to your head, no.
NYPA Entertainment Radio. Let's keep this going. Zoe, what do you want to get into?
Spoke about the 21 Savage, what he said about Nas not being irrelevant, allegedly, last week, right?
Yep.
Well, Jim Jones and Joel Santana have come to 21 Savage defense. During a recent interview on the No Jumper podcast, the Dipset members addressed 21 controversy comments about Nas. The ATL-based London-born rapper caused quite a stir this month when he chimed in on a Clubhouse discussion titled, "Is Nas the Greatest Rapper or What?" "I don't feel like he's relevant," 21 Savage said in the chat. "I feel like he got fans. He's not relevant. He just has loyal-ass fans base, and he still make good-ass music." The comic immediately drew criticism from members of the hip-hop figures, including Kodak Black and Nas' brother, Jungle. 21 addressed the backlash via Twitter last week, insisting he never intended to insult the East Coast icon. "I would never disrespect Nas or any legend who paved the way for me," he wrote. "Y'all be trying to take stuff and run with it. They took what you said. You said he wasn't relevant. That's a diss."
Yep, you're right.
Well, it seemed Jones and Santana agreed that the controversy was unwarranted, as they believe 21 comments were simply misconstrued. And quote, "It's like you can't even have no opinion out here nowadays," Jones said. "And they're so quick to misconstrue everything you say, because I don't believe that he was trying to say it in a and they left it unquote, end quote again, in a malicious way. Santana interjected, he wasn't saying it in a malicious way at all. Jones went on to say that some people wrongly conflate relevant with lit, which explains why so many fans misunderstood where 21 was coming from. "I'm just looking at what 21 Savage was saying. I don't think that he meant it as what people were taking it as or shit like that," Jones explained. "Because in today's society with the youngster generation, these kids are very lit out here, and they put lit and relevant in the same thing when it's two different things." Santana expanded on the point. "I think," end quote, "I think they should have found out what 21's definition of relevant is too. When you ask questions, you got to be real particular, because he's just talking." Santana went on to say that Nas has also expressed criticism towards other rappers, specifically Dipset Cameron, but he pointed out that Nas never received backlash over the remarks because of his perceived status in the game. "If Nas would have said something about..." "If
now
Nas would have said..."
"Why he said that, my bad,
yeah,
though." Okay.
"Yeah. If Nas would have said something about 21, nobody would have said anything, because they feel like Nas got the right because of who he is. They feel like because 21 ain't Nas, he don't got the right to talk about Nas. And that's the fucked up thing in the world we live in, because we all have the right to our opinion. Go.
Okay, number one, don't curse, because you sound funny when you do it. number two.
I'm just reading what it says.
Yeah, if you say F up, you can edit yourself. And, you know, I got sirens in the background, so they don't like you cursing. All right, now I get it when I said, oh, because you're mad because he said something about Cameron and no one came after him. Well, put it this way. Look, Nas is a better MC than Cameron, period. You could put Cameron and 21 Savage together. You could put Cameron and 21 Savage together. Put all their catalogs together, and I'll take, like I said last week, I'll take his last three albums of the KD trilogy, and they'll wipe their whole catalog out. Totally put them together. They'll wipe
Indeed.
Them out. So at the end of the day, they're defending them because they just showed their cards because of what they said about Cameron. It wasn't they supported what he said, like it was genuine. They got a reason now. We're going to get back at you because you said something about one of our boys. And 21 Savage, no one can misconstrue what you said. You said it. You didn't try to.
He said it.
You flat out said it. You said it. You didn't catch yourself in a moment to correct yourself. You said it, and then when everyone came after you, no, that's not what I meant. No, that's not what we heard you. You said that. It came out your mouth. So that's what you feel. That's fine. You have your opinion. But
right. The
whole dipset thing is like, dude, like y'all just stay quiet because y'all asses got chewed up. You know what I mean? What was it last summer in August of 21? I got embarrassed by the lie. You got embarrassed by the lie, let alone Jadakiss took you on by himself anyway. So y'all need to be quiet. You know
indeed.
What I mean? Indeed. Like, slaughtered them. So I advise you to shut up. And like, he's sick because Nas is not. No, Nas is a better MC. He's better than a Dipset put together and 21 Savage. It's what it is. He can have a versus Nas against them all put together, who's 21 Savage, he'll fucking win. He'll win. So, if it was genuine, I put it this way, though. If Nas didn't say anything about Cameron and Dipset was like, and try to explain 21 Savage, then my take would be different. Like, all right, they're trying to take up for the guy because whatever. But
right.
You said, when I was talking about cameras, that's why y'all saying stuff.
That's why they came out.
It has nothing to do with 21 Savage. It has nothing to do with Cameron. And listen, at the end of the day, some of Cameron's stuff is good. I like some of his stuff. But he ain't better than Nas. I make that clear. Like, he's just not. I'm not shitting on him saying he's a horrible MC. It's just not. Nas is a better MC. He got that flow, but he got the hits. He just, whatever.
Yeah. I agree with you. I like some of Cameron's stuff also. I like some of Joel Santana stuff. But
yeah, me too.
When it comes to who's the best MCs out there, I would have to give it to Nas. He's the better MC. I'm sorry.
He's the better MC. You know what I mean? And like I said, in 21 Savage, you know, just because you on an album with Drake don't make you the shit. You know, like I said last week, like your catalog can't hold up against the KD trilogy. You know what I mean? The King Disease trilogy. I ain't talking about Durant, y'all. I'm talking about the King Disease trilogy. All three are dope as hell. All three albums are dope. And the last one, the recent one, he's on it by himself. It's just him rapping. No guest appearances or nothing. And actually, it's still dope. And he killed it with Hit-Boy. So, yeah.
He don't need guest appearances. He don't need that. He don't need it at all, Nas. Nas can do it by himself. There's a few artists out there that can do it by themselves.
I think the first album he had, with the exception of an unknown rapper named AZ at the time, Nas guy has picked up anybody on his album. He picked AZ. No one knew who he was in 94. But Illmatic was pretty much Nas by himself. So he got Hit Boy. They got that connection, that, like you said, the Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson connection. And it shows in KD3, the dope-ass album. And Nas is hot right now. He has a great connection with Hit-Boy. You know what I mean? You find something, run with it. You know what I mean? You find that winning coach for your team.
And
you win in championships. You keep going with him until the wheels fall off.
And using their word, how do you misconstrue what General 21 Savage is saying? How do you misconstrue
that?
I don't know.
He
said
what he said. He flat out said it. I can't even if I wanted to and play devil's advocate, I cannot do that because he flat out said it. He said it. That was the statement. And then he tried, y'all blew it up. No, this is what he said. How can you misconstrue it? He said irrelevant. He said it. And he explained why he thought so. He said that. It's written in print. That's what he said. So it's quoted.
Let's put it this way. I know a lot of Nas songs. I know some Dipset songs. But I can't tell you I know a 21 Savage song. And I'm not disrespecting him, but I can't tell you what song 21 Savage raps. I can't. And it's not a disrespect. I just don't know.
I don't know. I already disrespected him last week when I said not the sidewalk would blow him out, but KD trilogy. So I'm far gone from that. But I wouldn't know a 21 Savage song if you played it right now. I was like, that's him. I actually barely know what he looks like. Quite frankly, I couldn't pick that cat up out of the lineup. I don't follow him. I just don't. So So there's that. That's it. We'll move on. Staying with hip hop, Ice Cube confirms he lost $9 million after refusing to get COVID shot. Quote, "Nah, fuck y'all." That's not right when I say it. Fuck y'all for trying to make me get it. You don't care. Ice Cube confirmed on a new episode in a recent interview that he lost a $9 million acting role because of his refusal to get the COVID vaccine shot. Reports surfaced, because I talked about it almost a year ago, October 21, that Cube was dropped from Sony's comedy Oh Hell No, directed by Bad Trip filmmaker, I butchered his name, Kataou Sakari, and co-starring Jack Black. Producers on the film reportedly requested all cast members be vaccinated in order to participate in the production, which at the time was planning to shoot in Hawaii during the winter. Quote, "I turned down the movie because I didn't want to get the motherfucking jab." That's what he called it, Cube said, confirming October 21 reports. I turned down $9 million. I didn't want to get the jab. Fuck the jab. Fuck y'all for trying to make me get it. I don't know how Hollywood feels about me right now. When the interviewer suggested Cube leave Hollywood for streaming, he replied, "That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood thought. They're on some shit, but me too. I'm on some shit too." Would he leave Hollywood and make an independent production? "Quote, I'm working on it. I'm hustling," Cube said. "Got a lot of things up my sleeve." Later in the interview, Cube clarified that he didn't turn down a movie because of his refusal to get the COVID shot, adding, "Those motherfuckers didn't give it to me because I wouldn't get the shot. I didn't turn it down. They just wouldn't give it to me. The COVID shot, the jab, I didn't need it. I didn't catch that shit at all. Not nothing. Fuck them. I didn't need that shit." Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You're in a situation. You only went on a movie. Paid you $9 million. You didn't get your shot. You don't believe in it or whatever. Would you walk away or would you go for that cash?
Considering that I don't have that type of money, I think I would go for the cash.
Okay. You have that type of money, but hey, you never have enough. $9 million, easy. You're acting like it's easy. Like you ain't gotta go bust his ass. He's acting like be on a movie set. $9 million. Forget now. I'm just saying you're established. Oh, now your job is to act. $9 million. Love the script. It's located in Hawaii. Everything's on point. But you kind of if you're not getting it or you're against it or whatever, what would you do?
That's kind of a tricky one right here.
I know.
That's a tricky one right here because if I have the money and I'm already established, you always want more. You always want more.
I'm not disagreeing.
It's really tricky.
I'm like, you always want more. Like, damn, it's your job. You know what I mean?
It's a job, and you don't want to be blackballed. You know how that industry is. They'll blackball you quick.
being difficult.
You know, by doing something, yeah, they'll make it extremely difficult for you to get another acting job. So that's you're going to have to weigh out the, you know, the pros and the cons. It's like, take the shot, continue with my successful acting career, or don't take the shot and don't get the job and possibly other roles down the line, and, you know, the money starts to fade. That's tricky.
I think I would do it.
I think I would probably take the money still.
Well, yeah, listen,
I think I probably would.
It don't matter. Even the richest person in the world ain't gonna turn down much of the money. Fuck, yeah, anybody in the world.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't want to take the vaccine also, you know, the COVID vaccine. I didn't want to take it. I was refusing to take it. But because of my employment, we were forced to take it, either take it or I lose my job.
Right.
So I couldn't afford to lose my job. I had to take it.
In other situations, we're not going to look a rabbit hole. We're going to go down because it's not what we do here. But they kind of where you can't go certain places without, you know, having it kind of bunch you up in there, and you're right, you couldn't just do it. So a combination, I agree with you. Same thing with not my gig a little bit, but more so we can't maneuver. So for example, Hawaii has very strict active time that I think they lifted, but I was in Hawaii earlier this year, and prior to them lifting up everything, they're very very strict because if your ass coming in unvaccinated and or whatever, you quarantine for X amount of days. So that's half of like 5 days. So that's half of your vacation, not all of it. So it's kind of forces you to kind of come in, vaxxed up, and whatever, keep it moving. So if you do it against you, like, fuck it. Like you said, I don't want to lose my gig. I do want to travel. I do want to go through the city. I want to eat indoors and not outside or whatever. So whatever, you do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do. Like, oh, what? I'm getting paid to be in Hawaii? $9 million to be in Hawaii. I'm getting paid to act? All right, jab me up, as he would say. Give me the damn jab, and I'm let's roll with it. But to each his own, I get it. You have your standards. You have, you know, everyone has their pride and so forth. I get all that. I don't know if it's worth $9 million, though. I'm just saying. I don't, you know, especially if your league is, especially if your basketball league needs cash, too. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like that $9 million just go for the big three league. I'm just saying, that's just me. But yeah, I would do it. I would jab my ass up in the Hawaii making movies.
There you go.
So, when we come back from this music break, we got more things to get into. Stick around, NYPA Entertainment Radio.
I dedicate this record to Carnival to all you brothers taking long trips down south, Virginia, Baltimore, all around the world, and your girl gets this message that you ain't coming back. She's sitting back in a room, the lights is off, she's crying, and then my voice comes in, pow, in the middle of the night, and this is what I told her for you. Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why, see, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5, so I'll be gone till November. Said I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl, yo, I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl, yo, I'll be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. And give a kiss to my mother. When I come back, there'll be no need to clock. I have enough money to buy out the block. Tell my brother go to school in September, so he won't mess up in summer school in the summer. Tell my cousin Jerry, wear his condom. If you don't wear condom, you see a red rum. Oh, 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 oh. You suffer MCs, you got no flow. I heard you style, you S-O-S-O.
Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself,
December, January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You'll give a kiss to my mother. I had to flip nothing and turn it into something. Hip-hop turns to the future of rock when I smash a pumpkin. Commit treason, then I have a reason to hunt you down. It's Tony Wright, it's rapping season. Yeah, you with the loud voice, posing like the top choice. Your voice, I make the hearse out of your Rolls Royce. Besides, I got my girl to remember, and I committed that I'll be back in November.
Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why, oh why. See, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5. So I'll be gone in November. Then I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. My girl, you wanna be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. You give a kiss to my mother. I'll never forget that. I know the hustle's hard, but we got to end the prize. You give a kiss to my mother. I know the hustle's hard, but we got to end the prize. Carnival.
Airline girl, but I know we won't be late, 'cause they tell me
they never rain in Southern
made me happy. This you can dance. You strip right beside me, yeah. And I won't forget.
At the NYPA Entertainment Radio. Remember, if you can't catch this show live 5 to 7 every Sunday as we're doing it on Block Talk, you always can go in archives and download this episode and others, or go to any other platform, Spotify, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, iTunes, Anchor, Google, and so forth. And check out this show and other shows and subscribe, download, share, comment, some reviews. Reviews are always good to spread the word around about NYPA Entertainment Radio so everybody know what you're listening to on the weekends, NYPA Entertainment Radio. Let's keep this going, Zoe. What else you want to get into?
I found this article on Inside of Business, but a former Yeezy staffer told Rolling Stones the culture at the company was like a cult. More than a dozen former Adidas and Yeezy employees spoke to the publication about their experiences at Yeezy. The collaboration between West and the sportswear company was terminated in October after 9 years. Adidas is investigating Yeezy workplace environment after staffers wrote a letter to Adidas CEO and executive board members urging them to address accusation that there was a toxic workplace environment at Yeezy's. The letter was seen and reported by Rolling Stone. The former Yeezy employee told the publication she had been looking for West approval, and that's why we would work so much. Since leaving Yeezy, the ex-employee said as part of her therapy, she had tried deprogramming, a tactic normally used to aid cult members in reevaluating their situations. The Adidas spokesperson told Insider, Adidas does not tolerate hate speech and offensive behavior and therefore has terminated the Adidas Yeezy partnership. We have been actively I can't even say we're engaged in the conversation with our employees about the events that lead to our decision to end the partnership. They have our full support, and as we're working through the details of the termination, it is currently not clear whether the accusation made in an anonymous letter are true. However, we take these allegations very seriously and have taken the decision to launch an independent investigation of the matter immediately to address the allegations. Representatives for Yeezy did not immediately respond to insiders' requests for comment. The problem I have with this, the person who's now coming out, you know, who remains anonymous, who now coming out to tell the story about, you know, what allegedly went on behind the scenes of the Adidas Yeezy's brand. Was this something that she came out with after they departed the relationship with Kanye?
It sounds like it is to me, because I was about to say, it's funny how everyone has stories about something after the fact. All of a sudden, everyone, this happened or this happened, but when it's going on, no one's saying shit. When you was under employment with him and he was a billionaire, you was working, you didn't say nothing publicly. Now, you know, when, you know, how the mighty have fallen, everyone wants to pull their pants down and squat on them. And say, it was this, and this, but you didn't say nothing at the time. So I'm not saying it didn't happen. I do got a bit of a side eye, like, why are you bringing this up now? Like, why did you wait so long to say something? If it bothered you so much, why didn't you say something at that moment? And that's my issue right there, is that it seemed like you just jumping on, you know, on the bandwagon of bringing him down. Again, I could be wrong, but it just looks that way to me, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. You know, that's what puzzled me about this. It's like, all right, now that, you know, they departed their, you know, partnership with Kanye, and I'm assuming that the people who was working for him are now, you know, unemployed, or maybe they're working with Adidas. I don't know. But if they are unemployed right now, you know, why would this person come out and say this? I mean, what about the other employees that were involved that was in there? I mean, he had a lot of employees. I mean, you know, everybody ain't coming out to say anything. And, you know, this possibly can hurt her in future if, you know, let's say that this didn't happen. Again, we're not saying that it didn't happen because we don't know. We didn't work for Kanye. But let's just say it didn't happen, and you're coming out to say this, what, you know, to make a fame for yourself or something. Let's just say that, you know, he start his brand off somewhere else and it blows up again and he start rehiring all the employees that he had in the past minus you. How would you feel now?
Right. Right. You might be right. You know, she could be lying. She could not be. And what if she is? And like I said, maybe she's thinking, well, he'll never bounce back from this, so I'm taking my shots now. Well, he may bounce back. And
oh,
he
got plans. He's not stupid. He got plans.
He's a little off, but he's not stupid. There's a difference between being off and stupid. You know what I mean? You can be off and be smart. You know what I mean? So
right.
He's down but not out. I give him that. So at the end of the day, like I said, I kind of questioned the time of this release of, you know, the statement. Because
right.
He's like, why didn't you say anything when it was happening?
Why
wait after he? Right, exactly. That's my only question. I got something for you that's interesting. I don't know if too many people know about this. I came across this article. And the article is, this is why Martin Luther King Jr. paid for the hospital bill when Julia Roberts was born. That's right. I'll say it again. This is why Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. paid for the hospital bill when Julia Roberts, the actress, was born. You seem stunned, Zoe.
Wow. I am stunned.
Okay.
Really?
So Julia Roberts revealed an interesting detail about her past in her latest interview with Gayle King. No relation to Martin Luther King, everyone. The pretty woman turned 55 this October 20th and marked the occasion by chatting with King about her accomplishments throughout the years, her marriage issues that are important to her, and her childhood. During the talk, Gayle King asked Robert about her little-known connection to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Quote, let's start with the day you were born. Who paid your hospital bill? King asked. Okay, her research is very good, Robert said with a smile, pointing to a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. The actress then confirmed that Dr. King and his wife, Coretta Scott King, paid for Robert's mother's hospital bill when she gave birth to Robert. Quote, my parents had a theater school in Atlanta called the Actors and Writers Workshop, and one day Coretta Scott King called my mother and asked if her kids could be part of the school. Because they were having a hard time finding a place that would accept her kids. My mom is like, sure, come on over. And so they all just became friends, and they helped us out of a jam, Roberts explained. In the 1960s, Gayle King noted it was not common for black and white children to interact or even attend the same schools, especially acting schools. Paying for Betty Lou Redmus and Walter Grady Roberts' hospital bill then was a way in which the Kings thanked them for their kindness. Quote, I think that's extraordinary, and it sort of lays the groundwork for who you are, Gayle King said to Robert. That is awesome, little tidbit and footnote in history. That is interesting. That is cool.
It is. I did not know that.
That was awesome. I figured that was a good thing to share to everyone.
And it wasn't something that Coretta Scott King bragged about. She did not brag about it.
Nor did Martin Luther. No, it was a thank you, because it makes sense. In the 1960s in Atlanta, you know, no one, because it didn't get, I don't want to go on a rant of how stupid racism is. Because of the skin color, they would not accept them into school, but Julia Roberts' parents is like, I don't care. Come on in. I don't care about that. Have fun. Let's do whatever. And that's what it should be about, not based on the color of their skin, but like Martin Luther King said, the content of their character. So an awesome way to repay them is like, we'll flip the bill. You did so much for us. We'll help you, you know, with the medical bills of your first daughter or second daughter. I think Eric Roberts is older, her brother. But that's awesome. That's a little footnote in the history that we don't know about, but that's a little thank you, man. But that's how it was. Is people just was her kids wanted to do some acting and go to a workshop, and because of the skin color, they were turned away. So stupid. That is so stupid.
And it's also awesome that, you know, that they did not forget about that, and, you know, that was something that she decided to share with everybody that did not know this, part of history.
Yes. Yeah, you know, like Julia Roberts, like you did your research, like you researched. So Gayle King, they researched it, and you know, I mean, it's kind of cool that you don't have to brag about it either. It's like, yeah, that happened. You know, like he's a great, they're a great family that didn't have to do that, and it was unheard of, like I said, at that time in the '60s in the South for a white family, a black family, to be friends and be close and hang out and do things like that. It was unheard of.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of something cool to share to everyone listening, because I was like, wow, cause I don't think a lot of people did know this or do know this. So I just like, yo, I got to tell you guys this. I couldn't wait to say it because I think it's an awesome story overall, hands down. You never know, again, of everyone, celebrities and civilians alike, you just don't know. And that's one of the good stories that I like, this little positive note there. Right.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I like that story.
Yeah, we went in it right there. We'll step away, play a little music, we'll come back. Got a few more things to get into. NYPA Entertainment Radio.
I'm sending out a signal. Call back from you. Did I hear an echo? Or am I living in deja vu? Corrosion in the wires makes it hard for me to understand. Part of me is curious. Part of me is too afraid to ask. You are the
to heal the abyss. Somebody needs to know that, and when the
adventure on my own. Walking through a darkened forest, going home. Curious, furious, I feel alone. Oh, oh, getting over. Through a darkened forest, going home. Curious, furious, I feel alone. Oh, oh, getting over.
Dreams about falling in love. It feels so real, but nobody is here when I wake up. Do you know my name? The devil's in the detail. I'm a natural born killer. I'm a killer.
Let the blue feet up high off everything you said. I'll chase the morning, put the devil in my eyes. Swear it's not so bad, I can't be mad.
John Leguizamo called Steven Seagal a horrible human and said he based his washed-up character in the menu on him. John Leguizamo has reignited what seems like a decade-long feud with his former co-star Steven Seagal. While promoting his new film, The Menu, Leguizamo said in an interview published last week that he based his character in the film on Seagal. The pair initially met almost three decades ago on the set of Executive Decision, a 1996 action movie that saw Leguizamo, age 62, play a sergeant, and Seagal, 70, played a colonel. But the experience isn't one Leguizamo appears to look back too fondly. When asked how he prepared to play his character in The Menu, an actor in the twilight of his career, Leguizamo pointed at to Seagal. Quote, "I met a lot of these stars like that maybe before they were washed up," he said. "I kind of based mine on Steven Seagal. I had a bad run-in with him. We did a movie together. It was Executive Decision. He's kind of a horrible human." The Encanto star has opened up about what he really thinks of Seagal several times over the past decade, including in his award-winning solo Broadway play, Ghetto Clown, which originally opened in New York City in 2011. Quote, "He came in," this is Leguizamo saying how Seagal was on the set, and it began the first day of rehearsal of Executive Decision. Quote, "He came in and was like, lowly, breathy voice, I'm in command, what I say is law. So I started like, I mean, who the fuck talks like that? Who comes to rehearsal and says that shit?" So I started laughing, and he slammed me within a Kato elbow against a brick wall and knocked all the air out of me, he said. According to Leguizamo, he dropped to the ground, gasping for air and asking why. He added later on in the filming schedule, he would turn up early on days with Seagal's death scene were shot on purpose. I want to see him die. It was like a fantasy, Leguizamo added. In 2014, Leguizamo brought up the incident again during the interview with the LA Times, where he said he was respectful to all the celebrities he mentioned in his play, except for Seagal. I'm not really attacking anybody in the whole show except Steven Seagal, he said. I've heard him say this and others say as later on, Seagal was a pain in the ass. Excuse me. And thought he was,
you know, a lot of people is saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he shows up with I've just, again, it's not the first time I heard someone say it about him. I've seen Ghetto Clown and other shows. Like, I love Leguizamo. And it's not the first time. Like, in his Steven Seagal in the beginning, in the very beginning, when he was thin, and, he, you know, the first movies and Hard to Kill and all that was cool. You go deeper to the 90s and 2000, he's heavy. He's not really kicking nobody. He has the ego. You think he's like the big thing in Hollywood. He got his movies are going straight to DVDs. But in his mind, he's on a top tier status. And
yeah,
not just Leguizamo. Yeah, C-listed. Not just Leguizamo, but others had like talk how he walked in, how he treated people. Like he was a big man on campus.
I've heard, you know, several people came out and said that it was hard to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. It's like, you know, hearing this and you know what? I don't know him personally, but just by, mm-hmm. you know, looking at, you know, interviews and all that stuff, I can probably see, you know, the fame getting to him where he may have thought he was much bigger than what he really was.
Mm-hmm.
So that could make him hard to work with, and you don't even have to be that way. You know, I never really liked any of his movies, and I'm going to say that. I really mm-hmm. didn't enjoy any of his movies, and that's my opinion mm-hmm. on that. You know, I didn't think that he was that great of an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was no diversity with his acting ability. It was always the same. And all mm-hmm. his moves, as far as the martial arts, which a lot of people question also, but his martial mm-hmm. arts ability on it was all the same. There was nothing different. The choreograph was pretty much the same. There was nothing spectacular of any of his moves on it. So it didn't, you know, intrigue my mind to continue watching, you know, the movie. And I'm a fan of martial arts. You know, I used to compete in the past, you know, in martial arts. I used to, you know, go out there to Florida to compete and all that stuff. So watching that, it didn't, you know, excite me to say, oh, I got to watch this new movie by Steven Seagal. So I wasn't too crazy about his movies at all.
Gotcha.
So he shouldn't be so big head about himself, you know, at all. Because his acting and everything to me wasn't great.
True. What you got?
DaBaby, your favorite rapper. DaBaby said he can out rap Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole, allegedly. Yes, I said it. Right here where it's reported, DaBaby says he can out rap Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole. I could see your face right now. I could see your face right now.
Mm-hmm.
DaBaby made some headlines today claiming he can out-rap some legends. My expert opinion had the controversial rapper speak on his rap skills. And quote, if I don't feel like you know nothing about this shit, I'm not about to try and exploit my real life anyway. I'm just doing me, DaBaby explained. So when it comes to like pain or anything that affects me or affects somebody I love, I couldn't dealt running around, goddamn exploiting that shit. I can't do it. He continued, okay, can put this beat on and I'll go Eminem level on that bitch. You got to get one of them to come. Yeah, you said on curse, F me up, F with me. You can come F with me. You got to go get Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole. I don't want to disrespect nobody, but boy, raise your hand, baby said. I'm like that. He used the N-word. No, too, and I'm like that for real. I don't got to talk about nobody else's story. I'll talk about me. Okay, that ain't make no sense at all. It makes no sense at all. But anyway, you know, from the headlines, it says the baby says he can out-rap Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole. Well, I disagree. And I'm not saying the baby can't rap, but there's no way he can out-rap Eminem, first off, Kendrick Lamar, who's a great MC, and J. Cole, who's also a great MC. There's no way that he can, you know, out-rap them at all, in my opinion. I think that they would destroy, especially Eminem, you know, all three of them put together, they would destroy the baby. And I've heard the baby rap on, you know, like the older hip-hop, I believe it was a 50 Cent beat.
Mm.
And it seemed like that he couldn't really keep up with the beat to it, and like he was speeding through some of the song, his vocals on the beat, and it just didn't go well with it. You know, he's one of those rappers that raps like how today's rappers rap, you know, and they can only rap to the beat of today's music. You know, they can't do like how the rappers back then, they could rap on any beat. No matter what you put at them, they can find that beat. They can find that break where they can rap to. Whereas today's rappers, they have to have speed beats in order to rap. They can't rap to any other beats out there.
Mm.
They can't do it. What do you think? Can he out-rap them?
I just grinded up your favorite lyricist on the low last week. Because of he can't sell tickets, and he gave out free tickets at the local Red Lobster where he was at, which is true. I talked about that on the show.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna really dignify that what he said. He's just trying to get attention. He knows, everyone knows, when he looks in the mirror, when he's in the studio, he knows he can't out rap the worst rapper on the planet, which he's one of them. He can't even do that. I can out rap him, and I'm not a rapper. He's just some cornball who's just trying to get some publicity because he can't fill a 1,300 seat facility. He's given buy one get two out tickets at a local cheesecake factory. You know what I mean? Like he can't even give away tickets.
But in his defense, he did come out and he did say that, you know. What those people that he didn't go out there and sell his tickets for buy one, get one free or get two free. He came out and said that he didn't do that. But it was said that he did go out there, I believe, as a gift to give, you know, free tickets to those at that particular spot that he went to. But he wasn't selling tickets for buy one, get one free.
So, I know he's your favorite lyricist on the low. Now, would you openly admit, or would you deny?
Why would he admit? And then
he
did show, and he showed a show where it was packed out. He showed the show where he performed that it was fully packed. So he said he's all
right. Okay. Right. So it was probably 50 people there. He did a tight shot of them, made it look like it was packed. No, it was a stock room in Target. So yeah, he's
a stock room.
A stock room at a Target. He had the employees in there. He did a close one. They're like, I sold out. Look at this. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Whatever.
Oh, man.
If Eminem caught wind of this, you know, Eminem ready to battle. If Eminem caught wind of this, come on.
They wouldn't even waste their time on it. They wouldn't even waste their time
on
it because it's a manslaughter. It's a landslide. Who will win?
Just for shits and giggles, it's like I'm bored. I'm rip this guy to shreds in two verses. Forget a verse and one quick verse, and that's it. So listen. Anyway, we're gonna move on. We can go on and on and on. This past Thursday was Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Sean Diddy Combs and daughters fed Miami's homeless community on Thanksgiving. Quote, it's important. I like hearing stories like this. We get some positive stuff after that last crap you read us. It was negative. And damn the baby out rapping. The nerve of you reading that shit on here. Sean Diddy Combs and his family paid it forward this Thanksgiving. A Grammy winner, 53, spent the holiday with his daughters, Chance, 16, 15-year-old daughter, Delilah Starr, and Jesse James, helping feed around 3,000 people from Miami's homeless community through the Caring Place at the Miami Rescue Mission. He and his daughters were also joined by rapper Young Miami, 28-born Carnesha Brownlee, who told XXL in September that she and Combs are having the time of their lives in their open relationship. This Thanksgiving, it's important to give back to the community and spread love to people less fortunate so they know they're not alone or forgotten, that he said in a statement. The Caring Place at Miami Rescue Mission has been doing incredible work for over 100 years supporting those in need, he continued. And I am thankful for the opportunity to partner up with them, Carnesha and my family, to bless the city this holiday season. They distributed Thanksgiving meals, clothes, and hygiene products, as well as medical care and haircuts at the shelter, which is celebrating a century of serving Miami's homeless community. Diddy has long been worked with charities, launching a charter school, and launching a charter school in his native Harlem, New York, in 2016, with campuses since expanding to the Bronx and Hartford, Connecticut. The Press Play artist family outing comes after his ex and Delilah and Jesse's mother, Kim Porter, died of pneumonia in 2018, when she was 47. He opened up about becoming closer to his daughters during the COVID-19 pandemic. For me, my life got better because I was running myself into the ground. I wasn't taking enough time for my family and for myself. It's really been a blessing. I lost the mother of my children. And that time that my kids and I were sequestered together, it helped me to make up for all those years I was on tour to get closer to my family, Combs continued. Quote, for me, it's been a blessing, but really using the time to become a better father and a better person. This is great to hear across the board, just not about him, but what he did for the Miami community. And it's true, whatever your city you're in, even here in New York or whatever, there are people who are less unfortunate, who didn't, were able to celebrate Thanksgiving and have a meal with loved ones and so forth. So that is real cool that he took the time out with his family to do that with the Miami Mission company.
Yeah,
100 years, that's crazy.
Right.
But that's awesome. I like to hear more stuff like this. Go ahead, Zoe.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I know that there's a lot of other people out there that do things like this that you don't hear about. But you know, this is definitely awesome, and it should be, you know, done more. It shouldn't be just for just this particular, you know, holiday. You know, that's something that should be continuous all throughout the year. You know, especially with people with money. Should constantly do, but again, you know, there are people who out there that has money that's been doing this for years that we don't hear about because they like to keep it, you know, quiet. They don't want the recognition for it. You know, I used to volunteer back in the days, you know, serving, you know, on Thanksgiving at, you know, at the Y, you know, back in the days, and it was something that I thought about getting back into doing, you know. Donating my time, you know, to help others out there. And for this winter, it's something I'm going to also do. I'm going to, you know, like buy certain things for like the homeless out there that don't have. And when you see them out there, they have no shoes, no socks, nothing. So, you know, I want to, you know, purchase a few things and go out there and just hand them out. It's something that I want to do.
I did it last year for Cradle to Crayons. It's a charity here for kids from newborns to 18 years old for shoes, socks,
right,
boots, and everything. I went there and helped out. And it's real cool to do that. The different people come in and you just, you know, people give up their coats and help the shelter out. And it's nice to give back to those who just don't have it. And you realize how fortunate,
right,
you are. Even if you think you don't have enough or you think you don't have a lot, you gotta appreciate what you have and not what you don't have. Because there's people way,
right,
off worse than you are and we are and so forth. So, and it's always,
indeed,
good to give back, small to big. It's just a great gesture. And I'm sure it is year round. We just don't know about it in general. And, it's just what happened. It's just that time of year to put the spotlight on something. It's good to hear with all the craziness and nastiness going on in the news today. It's good to have a spotlight on that. And we try to make sure on the show without this doing little gossipy stuff and tearing people down like their whack ass the baby and so forth, that we put the spotlight on good things like this and the Julia Roberts thing and so forth. And I can't believe Zoe brought the baby crap on the show. But we want to move forward and we're gonna play some music. Some real hip hop from a real artist that can rap. And right back, NYPA Entertainment Radio.
I was slinging small dimes, trying to make the come up. The blow used to numb up, a few G's a week. My click used to sum up, till my brother got locked up. My girl got knocked up, my closest homie each got popped up and shot up. Cops love the block, no way to eat. So I dropped a half a G on a rented SP 1200 sampler in a Yamaha 4-track. The bass from the lab used to blow the fucking door back. My ghost was doing stick-ups, trying to make a pick-up. Waiting outside for the breeze truck to pick up. Nothing would work, so we back to chopping nicks up. Giving grown-ass women 2 vows for a dick suck. When I was stressed, I would head to the rest. Then the pads on the SP-12 got pressed. Making beats for the streets so the family could eat. In 93, Wu-Tang Clan dropped their first LP. We went platinum. Yeah, we flatten them, pockets got fat in them, Whitney got chapping them, satins on the map in them, Brooklyn do is bombing them, all around the world, killer bees start swarming them. You can't stop us, you can't block us, rock us or mock us, knock us or top us, better sit back and watch us.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop me now.
No matter how hard, you better go hard, so hard. If you gon' try and stop me now, I'll be ruckus to rhythm like the blocks be wild. Bad enough I got the cops tryna lock me down. Can't nobody break my stride or shake my pride without a homicide case and trial. It's a long time coming, long nine busting, cradle to the grave, I'll be on my grind hustling. Sometimes when I think about it, have my mind bugging. The shit that I've been through, things that I've seen, the chicks that I ran through, places I've been, I'm a victim of the very song I sing. It's how it is in the heart of it, most want no part of it. Some will lose the pain through booze and narcotics. I'ma hold my head, stay true to where my heart is. Either you pay with your life or you pay dues to homage.
Watch out now.
Yeah, yeah.
some thought though. All the three buckets of mama, we getting mom though. Off the bus,
you getting jelly.
Pulling mom hoes off the look,
you getting jelly.
You won't hate me, cause your wife B wants an autograph. I'm looking her eyes, I can see she wants more than that. When I see fat asses, I make fat passes like quarterback. Z, not to talk of that.
Your shit order whack.
Hope ain't got better if you fooling with my cheddar. Hard rock ever since junior high. Swell a five fella, taking my beats to make your crowd get up. I'm fed up, niggas wanna bring it.
Whatever,
I'ma storm your parade. Blow your legs up with a grenade. Now you flapping like a mermaid. Gapping off with your cough and the lips while I'm at the bar. Bagging the bartender tips and I back the chick with a high in the eye. She did the butterfly, rubbing her ass against my button fly. I could already imagine my shit stuck inside. Every time I strike, haters be like that fucking guy.
How's that joke? It's hard for you to swallow. It don't take much for us to let the metal holler. Mess up out of old black and fire. Talk nigga only fuck with muchacha mala.
Big Jews, dímelo coño, how we do?
How we do? Don't call it a man, they love you.
What you gonna do?
What?
Nigga, what you gonna do?
To my Pollyan niggas who campaign, to the killers who be loving the chicas and champagne, thugs who be wild in the club and stand tame, players who be pimping the hoes with no brains, front watch a nigga get shot from close range, the most strange, crazy motherfucker won't change, beat nuts forever die hard, you want pain, cause you walking out of here breathing is insane, flip the beat fast, you leave the club with a heat rash, you got a weak stat, came in the club with a free pass, I ain't even know they made a rollie for your cheap ass, making me laugh, you was in jail wearing knee pads, not a beat pass, gotten over your head, it's over your day. Range over both of your legs, and both of us dead. Platinum getting took this year, cause for real, there ain't nothing but crooks in here, nigga.
How's that joke? It's hard for you to swallow. It don't take much for us to let the metal holler. Mess up the man of old black and fala. Talk nigga, only fuck with muchacha mala. Big Jew,
dímelo coño,
how we do?
How we do? Don't call it a man, they like you.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Beat nuts come through, baby.
Welcome back to NYPA Entertainment Radio. Unfortunately, everyone, we're going to wrap things up here for this week's episode. Remember, next week, new month, new music playlist, holiday music playlist of all genres here next week on NYPA Entertainment Radio. Well, without further ado, Zoe, let's do the shout-outs.
Yes, yes. Shout-out to everybody who continue to listen to us here on NYPA Entertainment Radio. Shout-out to Kyle. Shout-out to Philly, New York. And also shout-out to the caller that we had, that even though that he was fooling around over on the phone, but we thank you because you were listening on to the show to call us. So thank you. Share it with your friends to listen to NYPA Entertainment Radio.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for calling in, even though you're fooling around. Appreciate you listening. Spread the word. Give us a good review that we let you call in and act foolish. Shout out to everyone there and far. Shout out to Zoe, New York, Philly. Special shout out to my cousin Tony, who always helped me every week promote the show without fail. He doesn't do it because he's my mom's nephew or my uncle's son. He does it because he loves the show genuinely, and he helps me promote. I send him the link. Boom, in a matter of seconds. He got on social media telling his people, so his people can tell other people, meet to other people, and so forth. Spread the word. Subscribe, download, share, comment, review. The more we get, the more people know, the more we grow. I rhymed. I did better than the baby, and I rhymed. So be safe this week, everyone. Stay focused. And Lord willing, we'll see you here next week live for another episode of NYPA Entertainment Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, over. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you
then.
Yo. I'm not a preacher. I just like making good music. The show is over.
show is over. I think I'm paranoid from the weed, Lord. Can you help me, please? Once more, I drop to my knees. Tell me, Lord, how could it be? Blinds of rain I've never seen. Tell me, Lord, why isn't me? Is it cause I'm chasing dreams? Is it cause I'm chasing cream? Is it cause I'm close to each and every one of my enemies? Danger is my company. I swear I hate this industry. All women love the way I'm living. They know I'm unforgiving, heartless and deceiving. How am I still breathing? Scared of what I've seen. Still scared of what I'm seeing. Making me pick and choose who's win or lose. Even one of one, my mind is left battered and bruised. Choose. These niggas fruity like a pebble. I fly straight, I'm on my level. Sell your soul, deal with the devil. I'ma stay smoking this weed, man. Show is over, show is over. Having trouble finding the absolute meaning of life. Will I become a success? Can I find me a wife? These questions seem to get harder as they passing me by, but I won't give in to the pressure floating on cloud number nine. I'm just drifting away, these dreams keep me fueled to progress. This weight that I hold on my chest from packing on all of the stress. Throughout the daily grind, I seek to find a peace of mind. No wasting time, I need to climb up to the top to make this mine. Cause I control my destiny as I'm destined to be much more than the stars. Can I line the journey is dark, but I'll find a source of light to help distinguish the good and the evil. The benign and the lethal, the opaque and the see-through. Won't let my demons conquer all that I've built from within. Present my past with my future ambitions through paper and pen. It's more than words in the story that I relay to you. My heart is stuck in a bind while searching for proof of certain truth. As if a beast while the wind is blowing and grass is growing. Ocean waters are flowing with these cups of liquor we pouring. As the summers get hotter, winters get colder. I stay a soldier, my mindset for the future's never been bolder. You need a shoulder to cry on, then you can lean on me. We all go through trials and tribulations throughout the lives we lead. The scars are they are reminders of battles that I've won. Lessons I've learned and rules that I broke to teach to my future son. Cause I'll be damned if he grows to be an illiterate, ignorant, and belligerent person who doesn't give a shit. That's all the question for me as long as I'm still breathing. Culture my morals of society as he begins teething. But if I have a girl, she'll be my diamond and my pearl. Regardless of the cold-hearted nature amongst this cruel world, I'm just looking to be enlightened in this day and age with knowledge and wisdom to help me through all the pleasure and pain. The show is over, the show is over. The show is over, the show is over.